set to go. Snap, ball down, kick up. Kick is on the way, and it is good! It's good! It's good!
The shotgun, there's the snap, it's felt high. Quick throw, it's intercepted at the goal line! It's intercepted by Malcolm Butler! Malcolm Butler is intercepted Russell Wilson at the goal line. 20 seconds left.
Hello and welcome everybody to another live episode of the Full Press Patriots podcast on the Full Press Radio Network. I am your host. I am Ian Glendon. I am joined as always by my co-host. He is the Patriots managing editor here at FullPressCoverage.com. His name is Mike DeBate. Mike?
Hello!
Hello!
You know, I can't think of anything better than being introduced by a Seinfeld video clip, or audio clip, I should say, in this case. Always a pleasure to be here, and definitely looking forward to talking some Pats. It's been a couple weeks, and definitely back in the saddle, and as always in Foxborough, there's always a lot to get to. So let's get to it, my friend.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, I was in my head playing the video of all those entrances, all those Seinfeld clips. So in a way, yes, the video was there. You just have to use your imagination. What was it like in the in that Robin Williams, the Hook movie, you know, the Peter Pan live action one where, you know, you just imagine and it's there, you know, the food, the everything
exactly.
Like that, you know. Unfortunately, it doesn't work like that in the real life because probably wouldn't be right here, right this moment, right now. So, you know, there'd be a lot of other things I could do with my imagination, but, you know, I'm just going to have to settle on doing this here with you this week. Actually, no, don't let me kid you. I am excited. Like Mike said, we have been off the last couple of weeks due to various sicknesses. We've apparently transmitted over the microphone to each other since we are 1,500 miles apart. So, yeah, we have a bunch to talk about. Yeah, I know, right? It's crazy, the coincidence that we both got sick one after another. But, you know, hey,
one week after another, I know.
Yeah, it's crazy. You know, I just, like I said, as much as I wanted to talk last week, I physically couldn't. So we are here this week. And like I said, we have a bunch to talk about. You know, we will jump into last week's preseason opener real quick because you know, it was good to have football back, and you know, maybe Tom Brady wasn't on the field, or you know, some of the other starters, but we got to see a good chunk of the defense, and it was just, like I said, it was just good to have football. So, watching this game, Mike, what were your snap judgments? What were your quick thoughts, and you know, what came to mind, just or what stuck out the most to you this week?
Well, going over the game from last Thursday, a couple of things stood out for me unquestionably. First off, and I hate to always start off with a negative, but I'm going to do that. The defense looked rusty, to say the least.
Mm-hmm.
You know, considering the way 2017 ended, I think the last thing the Patriots wanted to see was the Redskins offense marching up and down the field against a lot of the Patriots starters, and unfortunately it seemed like that's what we were getting during the first half. Colt McCoy was really kind of running his offense at will, and upright, it's preseason, no one's, you know, ready to jump off the Tobin, as I like to say, but you know, there were some concerns. I mean, granted, the Patriots were without Devin McCourty, they were without Trey Flowers, but there were some familiar faces. Stephon Gilmore saw action, so did Kyle Van Noy, Eric Rowe, Pat Chung, Malcolm Brown. So, and Dante Hightower played well into the game as well. So there was a lot of regular Patriots that we saw within this game. And unfortunately, it looked like it took them a little while to kind of break the rust off. I think a lot of that could be from just rust of not being able to get on the field. The first time these guys have been on the field since the Super Bowl. So, of course, it's going to be a little bit difficult. You're going to see a little bit of a lackadaisical effort. The second reason for that, I think, is maybe there's a little bit of a malaise that set in because the Patriots have yet to scrimmage or play against an actual team. You've seen them do that in the past where guys will come in here, whether it be the New Orleans Saints or whether it be last year with the Jacksonville Jaguars. teams will come in or the Patriots will go to them and they'll have joint practices. The Patriots haven't done that so far this year, so this was really their first opportunity to look at another team up close. So those were some of the things that kind of sparked me about the defense. It looked like as the game went on, they tended to do a little bit better. So I liked what I saw as the game went on.
So what you're saying is that the issues on defense had nothing to do with some sort of internal strife that's been going on for apparently 6 months, but then it disappeared quietly this week, right?
Oh, of course. Everything always goes back to the problems between Bill, Tom, and Robert. I mean, everything is always related to that. I mean, you know, the problems that people are having right now, the problems that President Trump is having with Omarosa. I think President Trump came out today and says it's all Bill, Tom, and Robert's fault. So there are always things that are going to go back to kidding aside. that's a whole other kettle of fish. We don't want to get into that right now, but in any case, I think that there was definitely some rust, but there were some bright spots on the defense as well, and we can get into those in a little bit. So that was really one of my takeaways. I was the negative Nelly, so what I want to do is I want to take that back to you and say, what did you take away from the game as a positive?
Well, using your thoughts as a bit of a segue, I'm actually going to jump right in and say it was great to see Derek Rivers out there. He played a significant amount of time out there. And, I do want to note that obviously, when I try to look at these, and of course, like you said, the last thing you wanted to see was Alex Smith-less led Washington Redskins team marching up and down the field on the Patriots, starters for the most part. However, I always think, look, these defenses are as, vanilla as they get, you're not going to see too many, variations. They're just kind of there to get their feet wet. And I think there is a lot to, like you said, the lack of joint practices, because as we know in the NFL, contact in practice is very limited. So, I mean, you don't really get that much in general. And then, having those joint practices help, and then you get the scrimmage to team. So there's already that extra bit of physicality that you can kind of work off. So without having that, I think were a little bit slow out of the game. Obviously they got their footing because, eventually they came back and won, even though, it is the preseason. So it's all, it's all good and all, but it doesn't really matter. Wins, loss, yards, all that stuff. We just want to see big things. But positively, Derek Rivers, obviously he was their top overall pick last year, tore his ACL and missed the entire season. And he was out there and he looked good. I mean, he looked strong and he played a lot of snaps, which that you want to see. And, I think he's one of those guys that if he can, slowly, this isn't going to happen overnight, but if he can kind of regain that football form and kind of get that strength back, he can be one of those unsung heroes at the end of the year on this Patriots defense that, on the surface may look like it may be lacking some talent, but, really it's contingent on what these young players do, what kind of steps some of these newcomers take. So, but yeah, Derek Rivers was definitely something that stuck out to me.
Yeah, absolutely, and I couldn't agree more. It was great to see Rivers back out there on the field. Somebody that I know we all had high expectations for
you're
last
right
year. And I'm sorry?
You're right there. I heard a bang. I didn't know if you were out in the field covering the war on the
field.
No, actually. I don't know. Maybe I'm just... things, but yeah, maybe that's what it was. Maybe I'm hearing things. So let's forget
well,
that I'm losing
that's
my mind.
Okay.
We'll just
that's okay. We're all hearing noises and then whatnot. Maybe it's Bill sending us interference. Maybe we said something that he really didn't like. But no, I'm kidding aside. No, but all kidding aside, I think that Rivers being out there was a great addition, and I think he's going to pay dividends this year in that defense. Another guy, before we get into maybe some of the offensive prowess that we saw on the field last week and how they kind of came alive in the second half, one guy that I wanted to definitely mention, and I know that you feel the same way, judging by the tweets that we've seen going back and forth. is Juwan Bentley. Bentley, for a fifth-round pick in this draft, looked like he, you know, might be someone that could make an impact. A lot of people weren't sure what was going to happen, you know, as a result of him. But he had a tremendous game, I thought, Thursday night. He had six tackles, two for a loss. And the quarterback hit with, I think he should have been credited with a forced fumble on that. They had the officials ruled forward progress, and we all know what Bill had to say about that, you know, some off-color comments. This is a family show, so we keep that, you know, but anybody that watches
it
know exactly how Bill felt about that. I thought Bentley was excellent. He did some time with calling the signals. He had the green dot, which I thought was, you know, pretty amazing for a guy that is a rookie to get that kind of trust from Bill Belichick, Ryan Flores, and the defensive brain trust of the Patriots. So I thought that was excellent. I think he still has a little ways to go, but for now, I think he looks like as close to a lock as you can possibly get for the 53-man roster. You saw him having a lot of practice time this week with not only Kyle Van Noy, but also Dante Hightower. And that should show you right there the confidence that Bill Belichick has in him. So he might... Bentley might be looking like the steal of the draft for the Pats right now. He's looking very sharp, I think he's going to make an immediate impact on this defense.
Yeah, and that's a great point. These are the players that, for the most part, you know, you hear the name called, you're like, oh, okay, great, you know, this isn't going to be a big deal, but, you know, 6-7 months down the road, they're the ones making the big plays, and that's why, you know, I always kind of laugh at the notion that Belichick and the front office are poor drafters. You know, I think they are probably on par with, I'd say the average, if not, excuse me, above average, you know, in terms of success rate, because, you know, for the most part, they're picking at the back end of the first, if, you know, if they have a first round pick at all, you know, if there's any other concocted, you know, sham of investigation going on that causes them to lose a first round pick. But, you know, they're constantly at the end of that first round, end of the second round, moving back, using second, third, fourth, you know, overall selections in those rounds. So it's, you know, I think it's just a testament to the how they value doing different things when they're able to find players like this. And you know, he's a guy that, you know, maybe it's just the camp hype. You know how it is. Every year there's camp hype. You know, you have guys that, you know, they become household names, you know, camp heroes, and, you know, for the most part, they don't make the roster, you know?
Right.
And it's like, it's just one of those things that, you know, you gotta, you know, you can get excited about it, but you gotta just, you know, make sure you don't get too excited because you never really know. But I think you're spot on, though. I think this guy is showing what he can do, and the, you know, some of the early indications are putting these players in, you know, how much does Bill play him, and when does he play him, and who does he play him with, and who does he play him next to, and those are the things that you're really watching, you know, not necessarily length of time on the field, because, you know, spending half the game on the field and spending only a series on the field could, you know, be saying the same exact thing for the player that, you know, maybe a lock or is really earning the respect of the coaches. So, you know, it's all about, you know, putting into context. And I think he's really maximizing those snaps that he's getting. And, you know, he looked good out there. And, you know, this team, like I said, going into the season, it seems like they don't have a lot of depth. You don't have a lot of household names. But, you know, some of these guys, the Rivers of the bunch, you know, one of your favorites, Dietrich Wise, if he, you know, he takes another step forward, and, you know, it could really, you know, pay dividends for this defense who really lacked an edge last season, and we saw that in the Super Bowl and in games throughout the season.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that when it comes to the defense this year, also look for something that I've noticed a little bit in observing this team, either through training camp or, you know, some of the footage that we saw on Thursday night last week, about being a little bit more centric in terms of being able to stop the run. I think that was a big concern over the off season for the Patriots. A lot of people always love to point to the pass rush, but people forget that the pass rush actually did come on as of late last year and actually didn't play too badly. They had a rough Super Bowl, absolutely, there's no question about it. They looked at a lot of guys looked out of place, and I think that was really where you saw the loss of Dante Hightower really, really felt by this team. But the pass rush did show signs of improvement, and it showed signs of what it could be this year. And with Rivers and Wise with another year under his belt, and bringing in guys like Claiborne, I think it will help in terms of being able to get after the quarterback. However, I think there's also a renewed focus on trying to stop the run, and I think that's where Danny Shelton has come in. Shelton has looked pretty good in camp so far. I haven't seen a whole lot of, pen put to paper on Danny, but he's been a pretty solid addition to the middle of that defensive line. And he's known as a run stopper. That's why they brought him in. And I think that bringing him, to that line really helps to solidify and is going to help them in the long run when it comes to making stops on the defensive end. Because last year, they were very porous when it came to the run defense. Mm-hmm. I think that was more of a hole last year than the actual pass rush was, even though, like I said, the pass rush got a little more press in terms of, what it did as opposed to what it didn't do. I think that's one of the things that they addressed this year. So I like what I see out of the defense in theory. I'd like to see a little bit more put into practice tomorrow night, and I think we'll get into that a little bit later when we bring in our guest and when we talk a little bit more in depth about how the Pats are going to prepare for the Eagles. But as of last week, it looked like they started a little sluggish, but I liked what we saw as the game went on. I thought they played a little bit better and started to tighten up when they needed to.
No, and that's right on point because, like I said, you got to look beyond the score, look beyond the win or the loss or whatever, and you just got to look at what they're trying to do and try to surmise what the plan was. Because, obviously from the outside looking in, we're never going to know exactly what the plan was for that game. It could have been, like I said, a very vanilla defense. Maybe they didn't play a lot of things. Maybe they planned for certain players to play a certain amount. We don't know. But, for what it looked like, it was a solid step in the right direction because, as we know, this is a very long season. And, week one of the preseason, we're talking it up big time right now because, hell, we haven't had football for 6 months and we've been digesting the same, storylines over and over and over again. So it's refreshing to actually get some football. So I think we're going to dive in and digest everything that happened in this game. But in reality, this is just a small step in the right direction. So what we see now, just maybe hints for what's to come. We kind of get an idea. Okay, how is this team going to shape up? Are they going to be, like you said, is Danny Shelton going to be kind of that, Alan Branch role when he first came over from Buffalo and he was great. I mean, last year obviously was a bad year for him, and perhaps, 1 year too late with the Patriots, but. This is a team, like you said, that really struggled to really tie up that run because, you got to figure a lot of the times teams were behind. You're playing against a Tom Brady-led offense, so much of the time you're not going to have the luxury of sitting back and running the ball. So teams eventually got away from it. So it becomes easier for the Patriots to stop a run play. So it's a little bit deceiving, how their run defense looked. But if you watch the game, if you see how they play, you understand that this was not a team that was consistent on the run. They would show spurts. They would show, great signs where they'd stuff the guy, but then it would be gone, and there was no consistency. And as we saw in the Super Bowl, it was just, they didn't have an answer for anything. So, obviously we want to see that change. And, I think the Patriots have a better team, like I said, on paper, because that's all we really have to work off right now. So, it's exciting. And, the defense was good. I liked, we mentioned how Bentley kind of made the most of his snaps. And, guys like Devin Lucian, really came in and had a great game. Wide receiver kind of, fighting and clawing for that one of those final spots. And, you never know. You've seen a bit of an overhaul in this, receiving core, with Eric Decker coming in last week or the week before. And, there's reports that he's not quite, handling the playbook quite yet. But, this guy's a veteran. Give him a little bit of time. This isn't an easy playbook to learn. And, I think he still might show a little bit, despite the drops he may have. But, a couple of things that really stuck out. First, it was when, we saw a lot early on that he was playing, the left side, and we kind of figured he was going to be the left tackle in waiting or he's going to work that side. But in the preseason game and in the, subsequent practices since, he's been working primarily from the right. And, you know, obviously having Trent Brown kind of battle out and win that spot, you know, that, you know, helps, you know, make that decision a little bit easier. But it's just interesting to see him move to that side. And the other thing was Cordarrelle Patterson. He had a good game on offense. He had a couple catches, including a really nice kind of acrobatic one. And, you know, he didn't return a single punt or kickoff or anything like that, which was, you know, a lot of people assumed he was going to be the guy who, you know, came in and was, you know, the savior of the special teams unit. But, you know, we'll see. It maybe gives us a little bit of a indication as to what, you know, the Patriots' plan with him is, you know, whether it's, it clearly doesn't seem like it's going to be strictly special teams. So maybe they have, you know, this guy's a big receiver. Maybe they have some big plans for him.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm glad you mentioned Patterson. That one-handed catch, the juggling one-handed
which was
really a misplaced pass from Hoyer. I mean, let's be honest. And he really made that look good. It showed the flashes of talent that Patterson is going to be able to bring to this receiving core. And he's going to give them a lot more than just special teams help. Again, I say this a lot, but our mutual friend, our good buddy Terrence Biggs, who is a big Oakland Raiders fan, as you very well know, and the manager of our Oakland Raiders page, he sent me a text message immediately upon the Patriots acquiring Cordarrelle Patterson and said, "You guys just got a hell of a steal there." And it kind of raised my eyebrow. I was like, well, all right, I like the addition. I don't know if I absolutely love the addition. And then I started to really do a little bit of analysis on film. And I thought of something that Terry told me that night. He said, just keep in mind, the Oakland Raiders coaching staff just had no idea what to do with this guy, Bill Belichick.
It's not the first time.
Yeah, exactly. And I think you're seeing that. So this guy's going to be a contributor on special teams, but with Julian Edelman having to serve that four-game suspension, do not be a bit surprised to see Patterson as a big part of the passing game in the first four games and beyond. Patterson looks to be developing a good synergy with Tom Brady, and as you know, that's the most important thing when it comes to a receiver on this team. You need to be able to work well and anticipate along with what Brady is going to do. That's how we've seen so many talented receivers that have come through here, guys like Ocho Cinco, guys like Joey Galloway, guys like Brandon Lloyd, that have had good pedigree when they came through, and then they came to New England and for some reason just couldn't put it all together. So I think Patterson bucks that trend. I think he'll be a good addition to this wide receiving core and is going to give the Patriots a good amount of help in their passing game.
No, well said. We, you know, we were talking about reviewing this this game here, and, you know, there was plenty to digest, and I'm glad we talked about Patterson, and you know, we want to get a different perspective on it. And, you know, Mike, I'll let you do the honors to introduce our guest here tonight.
Well, thank you very much. And our next guest is a very, very good friend of the program, friend of ours, and a very close paisan of mine. He is a columnist for Pats Fans. .com. He is also the co-host of Patriots 4th and 2 and One Patriots Place. Also the editor of an excellent website that is not football related. Well, sometimes it is, but it's called specialoperations.com. It really focuses on the great work that's being done by special ops and the military. One of the finest reads you'll find out there. He is a good friend of ours, and we welcome him to the Full Press Radio Network this evening. Steve Balestrieri joins us on the hotline. Steve, welcome to the show.
Hey, Mike, thanks for having me. I appreciate you guys having me on tonight. And we haven't talked in so long.
I know. It's been, a couple of hours, I think, you know, since...
it's been about 5 hours since we talked.
Absolutely, yeah. Steve and another good friend of the show, Tom Murphy, were very gracious enough to host me this afternoon on the One Patriots Place podcast. We had a blast talking Patriots, and the hours seemed to fly by, and I absolutely know that that's probably going to be the case this time around as well. Steve, we were talking earlier about the game on Thursday night, and we were trying to break it down. We went over a little bit on defense, and we started to delve into the offense a little bit. But one of the subjects we haven't talked about yet is something that I know we went into a little bit earlier, but I think it's definitely worth it for our listeners to give them a little of your wisdom and counsel. on the subject, and that's the depth that the Patriots are starting to show at the running back position. Now, we know Sony Michel is down with an injury. There's no question about that. Looks like he's going to be okay for the start of the regular season, but there's still some iffiness around whether or not he may take one or two games off at the beginning to get himself back. But we saw the emergence of guys like Jeremy Hill and even rookie Ralph Webb last week kind of looked pretty decent in that regard. When you take a look at this Patriots running back core, first of all, what's your initial impression of the unit as a whole, and who do you see being the guy that the Patriots are going to ride throughout the season, like we saw them do really with Deion Lewis last year? You know, Burkhead, White obviously got their touches and they were integral parts, but Lewis was really the workhorse. Who do you see as emerging in that role this year?
You know, I think the Patriots have a plan for Michel to be that guy. Obviously, he's going to be out for a little bit. Burkhead hasn't practiced the last few days, so he probably won't play on Thursday. But I think they foresee Michel in that role. Although, early in the season, I think we're going to see a lot of Jeremy Hill. I really do. I think that they like what they see in him. You know, he had surgery in the offseason. He had bone spurs in both of his ankles. He had to have those taken care of. And then, you know, from what we heard, that he totally bought into the off-season program. He lost a little weight. He wanted to get a little bit quicker. And he definitely showed that last Thursday night against the Redskins. I thought, you know, his explosion into the hole was a lot better than Mike Gillisley. I think they're going to lean on, you know, he's a veteran. So he's a guy that's been around. He's been a starter in the league. So he kind of knows what's going on with the league, whereas some of the, you know, the rookie Michel, I think they're going to ease him into it. Now, I think by the end of the year, I think they plan on having Michel as that kind of guy. Kind of what we saw like Deion Lewis last year, he didn't really take over that role until about midway through the season. But I think they're going to lean on Hill a little bit and Burkhead, obviously, early in the season. And then I think they plan on having Michel take this over.
Yeah, I think you nailed it right there. I mean, Jeremy Hill, like, aside from last season, I mean, he's incredibly consistent when he's on the field healthy. I think first year was, I mean, like, really consistent. 222 carries, 223 carries, and 222 carries. So, I mean, this guy has, you know, he has the ability to carry, you know, to literally carry the load for a bit of time for this Patriots team and certainly fall back more into that, I guess, backup role once Michel kind of gets into it. But, you know, my question is this, are we looking at the last couple of weeks of Mike Gillisley in a Patriots uniform?
You know, we talked about that earlier today. You know, he was a guy that I thought last year I had a lot of hopes for because I liked him in Buffalo. And actually it was Mike who pointed out, I don't think he's a great fit for what the Patriots do. And he never found that comfort level in the Patriots offense last year. And then he was a healthy scratch and he just seemed slow to the hole. I mean, we saw the same offensive grouping last week. I mean, they were moving Hill and him out. They were, you know, sharing reps. So it was the same group of guys. They were running the same plays. To me, he just seemed like he was, you know, a tad slow getting to the hole. He was getting hit at the line of scrimmage where Hill was getting through that initial, you know, surge, and then he was able to make more things happen. I really think Gillisley's on very thin ice at this point.
Yeah, I didn't think it really helped him that much, too, that he was involved in that spotty exchange, whether it was his fault or not. I don't know if we really got an answer. But, you know, there was a fumble that led to a red seat. You know, that's just something that, you know, in his position, he just can't afford to have those things, especially with, you know, Hill playing as well as he was and being able to, you know, really, you know, gain positive yardage pretty much every time he touched the ball. And it was fun to watch. It was intriguing because, you know, with Michel going down, you know, obviously we're excited to see him play, but, you know, we're going to have to get that workhorse style run from someone. And I don't think anyone at this point is confident that Gillisley is going to get to that point. So seeing Hill out there doing what he's doing, I'm more than happy with that.
Yeah, I totally agree with you guys a bit. I mean, you know, when you look at him, like I said, he just, I had really high hopes for him because, like I said, I watched him in Buffalo and I thought he would be a really nice fit here. He's just never found that comfort level. And, you know, the other thing that I think Hill has a leg up on him, he's a lot better in the passing game than, as a receiver. And, you know, we saw that on the 3rd and 8. He caught a short, I think it was a 2 or 3 yard pass from Hoyer, but he was able to make that first guy miss. He's able to get the first down, move the chains. I mean, those are the things the Patriots love to see from their running backs, and they expect to see that. You know, that's making that first guy miss, moving the sticks, and then, of course, he didn't hurt his stock at all by leveling that linebacker with pass blocking, so that didn't hurt him a bit.
No, that was beautiful. I love seeing that. I know. I'm sure Mike got excited to see a nice big old block. We love seeing guys get run down like that, especially when the flag doesn't get thrown afterwards.
Yeah, yeah. That was a really good block. I mean, he straightened that guy up and put him right on his back. That's, you know, for a pass blocker, you love seeing that. If you're a quarterback, if you're Hoyer or Brady, whoever is on the field, you just have to love that. You know?
No, I don't know if you guys, I didn't get a preview of what was talked about earlier today between you guys, but this question will ring near and dear to one of our mutual friends, and is Brandon Bolden on the bubble? Could he actually see himself fall off? I know, like I said, I'm just saying, I'm putting it out there. I'm not saying it's true. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but. You know, I would have some concern. Yeah, I would have some concern for someone that we know if this were to happen.
Yeah, somewhere that mutual friend right now is destroying stuff in his living room and listening to us live. It's of my humble opinion that Brandon Bolden will be on the team this year. I think what he brings to the Patriots in terms of special teams acumen and also his ability to fill in as an on-field runner, I think makes him very valuable. There's something about Brandon Bolden that Bill Belichick loves, which is one of the reasons why he's still here. So until they actually pull the trigger on not bringing him back, I say he's going to make it. I have him as someone that makes it on the bubble, even over a guy who was explosive last week like Ralph Webb. That's just my opinion. I think Bolden will be on the team this year. Steve, I'll let you prognosticate on this one.
Yeah, I mean, I think Brandon Bolden's on the bubble every year, but I think every year that Bill Belichick finds a reason to keep him around, and that's his special teams play. I mean, he's one of those four guys who plays on all four of the units, and he's an outstanding special teams guy, and he's a great teammate. He's a great guy in the locker room. His teammates, you know, universally love the guy. And, in fact, last summer, Mike and I were there when he spoke to the media. He's a very, you know, down-to-earth, funny guy. And, of course, our mutual friend who we all know and love, you know, he gets invited to the Bolden family reunion every year. So.
Oh, God, that's
you know,
funny.
But,
that's funny.
Yeah. But, no, I think he's going to make the team once again. And he has been, you know, when he's been pressed into duty, he has been okay. I'm not going to say he's great. As a runner, he's not great as a pass receiver, but he's serviceable in both, and he's a good blocker. And you know he'll do whatever the team asks him to do. I mean, we've seen him, you know, that game in Denver a couple of years ago. He caught that, I think it was like a 50-yard touchdown pass. And
we've seen him
do that time and again when he's pressed into duty. I think he'll probably be the 52nd or 53rd guy on the roster, but I think he's going to be there.
Yeah, he's certainly not Matthew Slater when it comes to crossing over to the actual skill position side of it. I mean, obviously we know Slater is a fantastic special teams player, but his receiving ability leaves much to be desired. And I'm pretty sure we can all agree that whenever we see a Brady drops back to pass deep to Matthew Slater, pretty much close your eyes and just hope that it doesn't land in the hands of the opposing team's defense. So that's nothing to take away from Slater. We all know his value on this team, but you're right though. Brandon Bolden does bring more beyond just, great special teams play. Like he in a pinch can perform on the offensive side of the ball and really, affect the game that way. Right before you came on, we were actually we were kind of talking about Cordero Patterson a bit, and I think we think coming in, okay, you know, he's underperformed since he was drafted by the Vikings, and you know, he's coming over from Oakland, you know, kind of similar to another 84 that we've come to know and love here in Patriots Nation, but you know, obviously not quite that skill level, but do you get any inkling as to how the Patriots are going to end up using Patterson? Because it was pretty clear in this first preseason game that it's obviously not going to be a strictly special team basis. This guy, you know, he has some talent, and I think Mike put it great earlier that I think that Belichick is going to be able to get that out of him, and I think he's going to be a very good player for this team.
Yeah, I think, you know, we're going to see some of those things that we've seen with him in the past. You know, the jet sweep type thing, mm-hmm. and you know, the Patriots, the first or second day of training camp, they ran one of those, and I happened to be there. And it was right in front of me down inside the red zone. And the speed that he has is really impressive. I mean, we've watched him do this on special teams. But they ran a misdirection play, and then they gave it to him coming the other way. And he was in the end zone before anyone on the defense was even close to him. And that was the only time I've seen that so far. I think they watched it once, and they were like, this is a play we're going to put away, and we know this is going to be there. I think they plan on using him as a regular wide receiver. Obviously he's not going to be one of those short-range guys. They're going to use him to clear out some space. But I really think they're going to find a role for him. You know, he showed really incredible hands making some tough catches. It seems like every day in training camp, he made another one against the Redskins in that preseason game. I just have a feeling that Josh McDaniels is going to find a role for him. He's probably not going to be a prolific pass receiver, but I think he's going to be quite serviceable here. And, you know, if he's productive and he gets, you know, just a couple of catches a game, but one of them is a big play, then, you know, this was a steal for the Patriots.
No, absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. And people don't realize, I think, how big he actually is. And he has some size to him. So, I mean, I feel like is he a physical receiver from what you've seen? Does he, make his space and kind of clear out the area like he should, given his size?
It's more to his advantage. It's probably something, you know, they've never asked him to do. He's kind of like a guy that they just used as a decoy and as a burner down the sideline. I think with the Patriots, they're going to ask him to do more of those deep comebacks or the deep, the out routes that we used to see Brandon LaFell, you know, stuff like that. I think that's the role that they're probably going to use him in. And, you know, he is big. I mean, he's like 6'3". He's solid. He's about 220, I would say. It has to be close to that. And I think, yeah, they have him listed at 228. So, I mean, yeah, he's a big dude. He's the biggest wide receiver they have. He could definitely use his size more. And I did like the fact that last week I was watching him, and he was a very willing blocker, which was another thing the Patriots want from their wide receivers in the running game. So, you know, that's something that won't go unnoticed by the coaching staff.
Yeah, excellent point, Steve. I'm sorry, go ahead, Ian.
No. Go for it.
Oh, no, I was just staying on the offensive side of the ball, but switching gears. My esteemed colleague mentioned exceptional size and athleticism when dealing with Cordero Patterson, and I completely agree there. But one guy whose exceptional size and athleticism has made a lot of headlines throughout training camp is the Patriots' new left tackle, Trent Brown. Biggest obstacle for the pass in the offseason, one of the biggest, I would say, is finding a way to fill the hole that was left behind by Nate Solder when he signed with the Giants. With the acquisition of Trent Brown and how he's been able to really develop a really quick synergy with Tom Brady. The two of you seem to be very much on the same page. Just in your estimation, what has Trent Brown meant for this offensive line, and what could he mean this season in terms of keeping Brady upright?
Yeah, you know, I was a little skeptical when the Patriots traded for him because, you know, everyone was singing his praises, especially Von Miller. I mean, Von Miller was saying he's one of the best tackles in the NFL. And my question was, well, if he's so good, why are they trading him? You know, it's like tackles are not a dime a dozen in the NFL, so why are they trading this guy? But, you know, I've been pleasantly surprised from what I've seen so far. I mean, he is one big individual. He's the biggest Patriot I've ever seen. After practice of the day, well, Mike, the day we were down there, right? He walked right past us, and he is one big dude. I mean,
he is
and
an
for a big
human
guy,
being. There's no question about it.
Yeah. And for a big guy, he has pretty quick feet. I thought his footwork was a lot more impressive than I would have imagined it would have been for a guy of his size. So
I am
actually pretty optimistic now about how he's going to hold up. I think, especially with Dante Scarnecchia, you know, Coach Scar is going to have him where he needs to be. You know, he's a tough taskmaster, but you know, he gets the most out of his players. I think Brown's going to be just fine.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think that Trent Brown really is going to provide a lot of stability on that O-line. I'm very optimistic about the O-line this year. We talked earlier today about Isaiah Wynn and what he's going to be able to bring to that that line and how much I think they're going to rely on him initially. It looks like right now that he's going to be he'll be the new left guard. It looks like that's what they're grooming Isaiah Wynn to be. And the guys that they have coming back, like Adrian Waddle and David Andrews in center, Marcus Cannon, last but not least, Shaq Mason, you definitely don't want to miss him. Thuney has actually, I think, looked pretty good in training camp so far. I think Croston will round out that offensive line unit. I'm optimistic about the way they look this year, and I think a lot of people were very skeptical about how this offensive line was going to look after the loss of Nate Solder. I think they've done a nice job of filling that slot and backfilling in a position that's extremely important, especially when you have a 41-year-old quarterback under center.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, it all goes back to Scarnecchia, because a lot of guys that they've brought in, I mean, people weren't very impressed with at the time they brought them in. I remember when they picked up Sebastian Vollmer, and everyone said, oh, the Patriots swung and missed on this guy, you know. He's a German guy. He didn't even play football until he was, like, in high school, you know. And he was a very, very serviceable right tackle for a few years. And it always seems like he gets the most out of his guys. You know, and again, going back to Matt Light wasn't the greatest left tackle, but I thought he always played really, really solid. And it goes to Scarnecchia. I mean, this guy knows his craft better than anybody. And I think he's going to get the most out of these guys. I think especially where it seems like they're going to it seems like they're making a concerted effort to be more balanced this year with the running game. And, you know, offensive linemen love that. They love being aggressive and being able to tee off. I think this offensive line, as long as they stay healthy, they're going to be fine this year.
I agree. And it's funny that you mentioned Matt Light. I had an opportunity to speak with Matt back in March when he did the Light Heroes Foundation hockey tournament in Providence. And it was a great eye-opener to be able to get a chance to speak with him about everything that had happened. And, of course, you know, you talk about Belichick, you talk about Brady, but when Matt Light brings up Dante Scarnecchia, there's a little twinkle that forms in his eye. And I remember distinctly him saying off the record how Dante Scarnecchia will get out of you things that you didn't know you had within yourself. And that really always stuck in my mind since the day I heard that. And it really, I think it rings true when you take a look back at how Scar is able to prepare these guys and the reverence that all of his offensive linemen speak to him with. You saw Randy Moss in his Hall of Fame speech give credit to Dante Scarnecchia, which completely took him off off guard. I mean, nobody was expecting it, but that meant so much to Moss that he felt he had to do that. So it's interesting that you bring that up, because that's the first thing that I thought of. And the minute that you said it, it immediately brought me back to that. Again, like I said, I'm very optimistic about the O-line this year, and I think the Patriots are going to be all right in that department. Always the caveat that they have to stay healthy. There's no question about it. You know, you keep health on the offensive line. Hopefully we can get a healthy Marcus Cannon throughout the season. If we can do that, I really like the way this line is shaping up.
Yeah, and, you know, with the additions of Wynn and, you know, Trent Brown, you know, they've injected some youth and athleticism with Wynn, and they've definitely got some size with Trent Brown, and you know, if they start teeing him off in the running game, that's a big piece to move in the running game. So, you know, I could see them going short yardage, running a lot to the left this year.
Well, you throw in you know, Rob Gronkowski into the mix when it comes to, you know, extra blockers, and you got a whole lot of size building up there. Dwayne Allen, if he's still on this team, and you know, it's one of my favorite photos I saw from training camp, I believe, was Mike Reese on a painter stepladder, stepping on the very top to try to interview him, and that was it made me laugh.
God bless
it makes
Mike
me wanna...
for taking that.
Yeah, he knew what was
coming. Mike is the greatest guy in the world. He really is. I mean, he really is one of the greatest guys in the world. And, you know, God bless him for having the temerity to be able to take that photo and post it. It really, it's emasculating. It's hilarious, but it speaks to Mike's heart, which really is amazing. And yeah, definitely. I agree with you. I think that's a shot of the training camp so far.
Well, you know, I'm going to get off on a tangent here, but a quick story about Mike Reese will make you smile. one of the newspapers that I work for, my editor, has known Mike since he was, like, in high school. And she was like, oh, Mike used to work for the newspaper when he was in high school. He'd cover high school sports for us, and he was really good. And then when I ran into Mike down at the training camp, I mentioned that to him, and he started laughing. He got a big smile on his face. And he's like, well, make sure you tell Jen. I said, hello. And he was like, Steve. And he was like, that's how I got my start. He's like, I wasn't even old enough to drive. My father would have to drive me to all of my assignments. And here's a little kid, and he goes, and I was even smaller than I am now. And he goes, and I'd be going up to these high school coaches, and I'd be putting a microphone up in their face and asking them all these questions. And he said, and that's how I got my start. And, you know, he was, like, doing high school sports when I was in high school. And we were laughing. And my old editor, she was telling me, she was like, Mike was a professional when he was in high school. And she said everybody in the newsroom just loved him. They all knew that this kid was going somewhere.
Oh, so. That's funny. It's kind of like me. I got started in high school sports. I just did it at a much more advanced age than Mike did.
Yeah.
But, hey, you know, age is just a number. Yeah, I would say
that's
so. Well, Steve, it's always a pleasure to have you on the show. And, of course, it's an open-door policy with you. Whenever you want to hop on, we're more than happy to have you. And, you know, it's always good to talk Patriots. And, you know, just a couple more weeks, and it's actually going to mean something. So, you know, just hang in there, and we'll definitely be talking again.
Oh, thank you guys for having me on. It's always a pleasure. I love the job you guys are doing with the podcast. And, of course, on the website, you guys do great work. And, you know, it's this is what this isn't work. Like when I go down to training camp, my wife says, this isn't a job. You're getting paid to do what you love to do and watch football, which is very true. So I can't argue with that. I'm excited even for tomorrow night's game. I know it's like I'm already starting jonesing for football to where I can't wait to watch tomorrow night's game, even though it's preseason. You know,
well,
but
we'll
still watch and glean from it.
We'll get Brady for probably about 5 or 6 snaps, and that'll be about it. He'll walk off, hair in a mess. So it'll be good, though. It'll be good. We'll be all watching.
Yep. Hopefully he'll hit Gronkowski for a touchdown. So
Yeah, and that'll be it. Walk right off, and that'll be it. Now let's just get to the real season. Let's go.
Yeah, that's it.
Oh, man. Well, again, it was a pleasure talking. We'll definitely do this again soon.
All right. Thank you, guys. And have a great night. And thanks again for having me on.
Absolutely. You have a great
night. Always a pleasure. Always welcome. You're a part of the family, my friend. So thank you. And you have a great night and enjoy the game tomorrow.
All right. Take care, guys.
Bye-bye. Thanks. Oh, that was fun. It's fun to really get in there and get a from the front lines perspective of what's going on in Patriots world. And, of course, we get a great story about Mike Reese. And, anyone who follows Boston sports knows he's the top, when it comes to it, if you want it, as professional as you're going to get. So, if you're out there, anyone who's striving to be a journalist, anything like that, not only can you get a start here at fullpresscoverage.com, so go to the site and fill out an application, but just look at what Mike Reese does and, know that he does his job, with the utmost integrity and he's great at what he does. And, that story just, it makes sense about him. So, it was fun to listen, but, we got football tomorrow, like I said, we're probably going to see, and, albeit if it is a preseason game, it is a rematch of the Super Bowl. So, and whether it's coincidence or just ironic or what have you, Tom Brady should be out there. He should be taking a few snaps. And I think that's something that we can both kind of get excited for.
Definitely.
Yeah,
definitely.
I mean, look.
And the other thing that we can really get excited to and really get excited for is I think finally we can put to rest for a little while anyway. It's not completely dead. And I know that's going to anger some people when I say that, but we can finally put to rest this whole, is Brady going to be committed to the team? Is he going to be out there? Is he going to do this? Is he going to have acrimony with Bill? I think we can finally put that to rest for a little bit. Tom kind of went on a little bit of a media blitz yesterday in Brady's world, which is a couple of appearances. And he made his weekly radio appearance on Kirk and Callahan on WEEI, basically reiterating the fact that he's going to play through 2019 and probably beyond. If you listen to his appearance on the show, it really sounded like this is a guy that's not only committed to playing next season, but beyond. And he really kind of put to rest, I think, a lot of what has been going on with the whole, how does he feel about Bill Belichick, in his post-practice press conference yesterday, and basically saying that he is the greatest coach in the league, and that's the guy that he wants to play for. Whether there is acrimony, whether there isn't, I think right now it's immaterial. As the late, great Gorilla Monsoon would once say, the time for the talk has ended. And I think at this time, the time for the talk has ended. I think now it's time to hit the field. Now it's time to see what these guys can do. The Patriots are always going to give you 110% on the field. Their head coach demands it. Their quarterback demands it. Their ownership demands it. So I think you're going to get everything of them, and you're not going to get a whole lot of distraction. We'll revisit the topic in the offseason because you know it's going to come up again. But as for right now, I think it's good to be able to put all of that behind in the rearview mirror and focus on football for the next foreseeable future for the next few months.
Well, let me preface this by saying at least sane people, like actually with all their mental capacities intact, will be able to move on and realize that this was really just a bunch of off-season fodder that wasn't really substantiated by anything that they said or did themselves. It was all sources but there are a select few, and we don't have to say any names here, but that are going to just keep harping on it. And it is what it is, and you're just going to kind of have to ignore it and realize that they really don't know what they're talking about, or they're just trying to amp up the drama. Because right now, for Bill, for Tom, it's always been like that. It's been all about football. You know what I mean? It's always been always about football. So, when you see stories now saying like, oh, Brady says he's going to play a few more. Well, of course, he's been saying that for years. So as far as I'm concerned, what he said a couple of seasons back where he said, I want to play till I'm 45. I want to play till I'm 45. That's the only thing he said to indicate any sort of end date for his, football career. So I'm going to go with that. I'm not going to go with, is he getting upset? Is Belichick purposely throwing a Super Bowl to spite Brady? No.
Yeah.
No. I, we have about 5 minutes left. I could just say no over and over and over for the next 5 minutes, but I'm not going to. But that's the point. We hope that that is behind us. But like you said, we know no matter what happens, they could go and win the Super Bowl. I mean, hell, they nearly did it this season. You know, and Brady was nearly perfect in the playoffs, and there's still this talk. So it's just, it's going to be there. Just accept it. Enjoy this next 6 months as, you know, the topic is football. That's what we're talking about, football. You know, drama will
Absolutely.
Pop up, I'm sure, but it's football. And I'm excited.
Yeah.
And I think next
– No question.
Tomorrow night we're going to be looking – you know, obviously at a lot of the things we were talking about, we see more of Trent Brown. We want to see more of what he does. You know, we want to see what Patterson does. We want to see if the defense starts a little bit stronger, assuming that the starters are going to be in there. Jason McCourty is a guy that we would probably like to see.
Right.
Who got a – not only was there a report that he was on the roster bubble, but there was also a report – or there was a statement by Belichick who went out of his way to praise the play of Jason McCourty. So, again – who knows? We just want to see him out there. So that's something I will be personally looking forward. And of course, you know, we talked about Derek Rivers and all that. We want to see that. So that's what I'm looking forward to for tomorrow night. And then, of course, Tom Brady getting to throw like 3 passes. So
yeah, absolutely. And really, I think you hit the nail right on the head. That's exactly what I'm looking for tomorrow night. Obviously, eyes are going to be on Brady when he first starts off. How does he look? How does the ball come out of his hand? I think a lot of people are going to be looking at that and just seeing how he looks at 41 years of age. I'm pretty sure everybody's going to be impressed and is going to breathe a big sigh of relief and say, you know what, the guy's still got it. I'm very confident in that. But it's always, you know, eyes are always on Tom Brady. It always begins and ends with Tom in New England. Let's face it, for better or for worse, everybody can pretend it doesn't, but it does. The guy that I'm looking forward to seeing tomorrow night as well is Eric Decker. You mentioned him earlier.
Yep.
Decker has looked shaky at times throughout this training camp. Now, again, and I think you have made a very good point, you have to give the guy a little bit of time. Not the easiest system in the world to be able to pick up, even though there have been drops. And I know a lot of people have been very quick to point out those drops and say, oh, he's not having trouble with throats, he's having trouble with his hands. Well, you know, nerves can do a lot to you, especially when you're coming into a situation where you were signed after training camp began. Let's not forget that he wasn't here in OTAs or in minicamp. So he's going to have a little bit of those pregame, you know, jitters. I'd like to see him get some action tomorrow. I'd like to see him get some receptions, hopefully. If he doesn't, I think it's going to be interesting. You're going to start to hear some of the whispers down the line about whether or not he might be the fit for this team or whether or not he might not be. So you could be facing a pretty good game for him tomorrow. Another one that I also look for very quickly is Ralph Webb. He had a very big game last week, played very well against the Washington Redskins, turned a lot of heads, and got a lot of people up. That radar kind of went up and went, whoa, this kid could actually be a pretty good runner for this team. Do want to caution everyone to pump the brakes a little bit on Ralph Webb. That is no disrespect to him whatsoever. I was impressed by what I saw last week. However, we've seen guys that have been all-stars in the preseason. Austin Carr comes to mind last year as a wide receiver. A few years ago was Zach Sudfeld, who was the tight end for the Patriots, who a lot of people were saying was going to be a compliment to Rob Gronkowski, maybe even Gronk Jr., and that never panned out. So it'll be interesting to see what kind of a workload he gets tomorrow and whether or not he's able to build off a very impressive debut from the first game. So those are the things that I'll have my eye on tomorrow night.
No, and I think, like I said, you know, when you realize that this preseason game in the end doesn't mean anything towards the physical record, you got to make sure that you find, you know, you want to find the stories within the stories. These guys that, you know, like you said, Eric Decker and is he going to, you know, sometimes all it takes is just a catch or two for them to get that confidence back and realize, okay, this is just football.
Right.
You know, it's going to be, you know, like I said, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be, you know, is Frank Webb going to be able to carve out a spot? I mean, this team actually, you know, if you think about it, has had a pretty good, you know, track history when it comes to acquiring and drafting running backs, you know, later round running backs. But, you know, obviously they don't have the guys, like, you know, they don't get the opportunity to draft a Zeke Elliott of the world, and not that they need to, but, you know, the guys that they do draft end up coming into the league. And, I mean, you talk about Shane Vereen and Lawrence Maroney for all his faults. He was a decent running back, at least in those first couple of years. And, you know, they have a knack for finding the talent. You know, Mike Gillisley aside, I think this is a good opportunity for a young guy to carve out a position. Because let's face it, if he's doing these things in practice and he's continuing to play well, Belichick isn't going to not keep him on the team because of someone's name. Like, he will, if Frank, you know, if he goes out and plays the way he's been playing and keeps progressing and he's doing the same things in practice, you better believe he might be taking a roster spot. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see if that happens and he becomes one of those guys that just is a no name to start. And then by the end of the season, he's, you know, catching a touchdown in the Super Bowl. You never know. Think about James White. You know, he was kind of in the background when they had Ridley and Vereen, and he was just there. And then all of a sudden, it was James White is a Super Bowl hero. So you never know. You never know.
Very true.
But,
very true.
You know, I think that was that might have been the fastest hour I've ever enjoyed in my life. But
well, I guess that's it, folks. Had some laughs, killed some time.
Da 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 da. So, unfortunately, that is the end of our episode. We are going to close it out here. I want to thank everyone out there who is listening. I'm sure there was plenty. We want to thank Steve for joining us. And, you know, it's always a blast to talk to football. And, Mike, it was always a pleasure, and it always is going to be a pleasure anytime we can share the mic together. So, you know, I look forward to next week, and hopefully we're talking about some more positives and not so many negatives, you know. You know, I'm sure that's something you want to avoid next week.
Oh, definitely. No question about it. And, you know, for all intents and purposes, let's remember, they actually did win the game last week. So, I mean, we're talking.
And
like,
it was a pretty impressive comeback.
Falling. You know, it really was. It was a very impressive comeback. So let's focus on the positive. Let's keep moving in that direction. And I know Pats Nation is going to be out for a little revenge tomorrow night. Keep in mind, guys, this is preseason. So just remember that when it comes to that, you know, no need for extremes either way, but we will definitely bring you as much of the recap as we possibly can next week and then preview the Patriots' next opponent. So we're definitely looking forward to that. And as we march toward the 2018 regular season to be opened on September 9th, and really can't believe it's so close.
It is. It really is. And I would be, you know, last but not least, I do want to let everyone out there know that aside from the website, of course, you should be visiting fullpresscoverage.com every day because, you know, why wouldn't you? It's just, we enjoy the work that we do. We're, you know, Steve said it best earlier, you know, we love, you know, this isn't work for us. We love what we do. And we hope that translates to the work that we, you know, the stories that we give you guys to consume and read. So be sure to follow us. Go to fullpresscoverage.com. You can follow me on Twitter. It's at IGLEN31. You can follow Mike on Twitter. It's at MDABATEFPC. And, you know, give us a follow. Give the main account a follow. It's at FPC_NFL. And he is Mike. I am Ian. You guys have a great night. We will talk to you next week.
Thank you all.